and welcome to Future Imperfect. I'm your host, Admiral Phillips, and in this adventure into Star Trek, I'll be covering the latest episode of Star Trek Discovery, and some other news posts that are related therein. So, let's just get right into it with the episode. This was episode 4 in Star Trek Discovery that was released called The Butcher's Knife Cares Not for the Lamb's Cry. So, before I get into this, I really want to know what you guys think about it. So be sure to comment on the episode post or on the following locations of Geekcast Radio, Alter Geek, or This Week in Geek. But I had some thoughts about it. It was interesting. I kind of got a Benjamin Sisko vibe from Captain Lorca. Kind of a no-nonsense, willing to do whatever he wants for the war effort and to get what he wants. And kind of stating that he's kind of more so than Sisko, he's more of a dick in that essence, in that he, you know, it was mentioned that if Lorca wants you here, it's for a purpose, it's not for your feelings, you know, and so it was kind of interesting. So we actually got to see why, and I won't get into too much spoilers, we get to see why the Discovery has the weird saucer section, and why there were only two ships designed in this method, and now this is obviously the only one, and why there's that little spherical disc in the center, and it's pertinent to this particular kind of ship. I'll say that much. There is a MacGuffin with the previous episode in getting that drive to work. And it allows for instantaneous transportation across the galaxy. So it's like a transporter for starships. And obviously it wouldn't be Star Trek if the first time a new experimental technology went, it didn't work. And then the second time that it does... that aside, it wasn't that bad of an episode. I can't really harp on it too much because there really wasn't anything horrible about it. I did get to see a character I did not like die, so that was kind of nice in the show. You also get to see kind of a communication between comrades of the Shen Zhao in Saru and Burnham, basically having actual candid conversation in using each other. So you get to see how much their distaste for each other goes into effect here. And it was kind of interesting, to say the least. And I liked how it transpired overall. So I can't really pan it. So if you haven't seen this latest episode, go check it out. Definitely worth it. I think the show is starting to get a little bit on its own. The characters are starting to not feel flat. I still would like to see a Constitution-class starship and reasoning why things appear the way they do in this series. I've made the prediction before of, you know, that this crew is not going to matter by the end of the series, because not only is Saru's race pretty much extinct for the most part because they were hunted, and we haven't seen them since or before. I'm willing to bet that everyone on the Discovery dies by the end of the season, if not this season, next season. Only for the fact that none of this technology, the crew, anything to do with it is ever mentioned in later Star Trek. The other thing I kind of have an issue with is the, like I've mentioned, the Klingons, but It's the method that they've gone about with this. I'm wondering, based on something that happens at the end of the episode, if the Klingons, because they talk about losing everything to a particular Klingon, I'm wondering if that's where they get the augment virus type thing, where they get to look humanoid. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not entirely sure, but it could be an interesting take. So we'll see what happens. But I see how the show is getting better. It still doesn't fit in with the original timeline. I don't care what anyone says. Like, it's not. And I had kind of a Twitter conversation going the other day about it. And my pet peeve was more than just the Klingons, because it's not a horrible show. I can't say that it's horrible. It's not. But the conversation I had going between somebody the other day was about the post that Star Trek CBS made saying, "What the heck is going on this ship?" I said, "That's a question I'd like to know. And why the series is actually Kelvin universe pretending to fit an original timeline?" Because they've been trying to say that it's the original timeline, and yet it still doesn't really fit. It doesn't. There's a multitude of things that just don't fit. And it's not just the up-to-date graphics. There's a lot not fitting. And someone on Twitter says, "I'm curious what indicates it's Kelvin and not the original series." And I said, either way, whether Kelvin or another timeline, alternate, it doesn't fit with the original timeline, but that was marketed that way for better exposure. He says, "Interesting. I feel it's more of a reboot to appeal to a wider audience," which I do feel that if we're throwing it in that lot and saying that it's a reboot, that could be true. And I agree. However, the way they marketed it, saying that it was a not a reboot, but it was going to fit in the timeline, doesn't mesh with that concept. And so I feel like it was poorly marketed. And trying to say that it's in the original timeline doesn't make a lick of sense. Additionally, the tech is more advanced than the original series on the ships and weapons. It doesn't resemble the original series timeline at all, aesthetically. And then looking at the advancements in style of the ships, which aren't present, and that all Klingons don't look like Enterprise. Because remember, back in Star Trek Enterprise, the Klingons look like the 24th century Klingons. There's no weird looking alien mixture of the weirdness that's here. The only thing I can think is maybe they all get wiped out and there's like one or two sects that's left by the end of this, that some of them get the augment and become what's in the original series. The other thing I can think of for the tech is that maybe after this war they decide to abandon all of the war technology and go more peaceful, and that's why everything gets kind of less streamlined. But it's hard to say. But yeah, nothing resembles the original series timeline. It fits more with the Kelvin universe, and I would be fine with that if they would just come right out and say that instead of trying to make it fit where it doesn't. Because it's kind of interesting that we get to this point and we get this technology, which, had Janeway known about it, she probably could have used it, you know, if it were actually a part of Star Trek canon. And I realized that whatever supercomputer, I'm going to call it, they're using to do this space jumping thing, because they need a particular thing that maps the universe, or has... they've basically made it like that creature that talked to Kanan in Star Wars, that knows everything in a sense, but it's basically like a MacGuffin in this show. But it's gonna cease to exist, I have a feeling, in the next episode or two. So this technology of warp jumping with the space dust is going to be eradicated. It's going to have no proper use for it anymore. But yeah, we'll see. It's kind of hard to say what's going to happen, but this technology would have been great, you know, come later, or, you know, had they, this may even be what becomes like Section 31 technology, or, I don't know. There's a lot of gray area in this show, and it's kind of a toss up. I'm not really sure what's going on at this point in time. So I just know that all this new technology and how they're trying to make it function doesn't make any sense. So I guess we'll have to just kind of wait and see. I did like the fact that in episode 3 they showed, you know, Starbase 11. They showed, even though it was like a different aesthetic, it's still, you could tell what it was. Love the new badges. You know, this technology though in this show, it's got some Enterprise elements to it, but it's got some, like, most of the technology is like post Star Trek Nemesis, which is what really, you know, what really throws me. And the fact that in 10 years, Kirk doesn't know anything about this technology. You know, this, it's no longer used, but trust me, they knew that it knew about it before, you know, that doesn't bode well for me as far as the tech and the Klingon information. It's like they mixed the Crawl from Star Trek Beyond with the Klingons, with like a White Walker, with with the Klingons of the Kelvin universe. Like, it's the weirdest amalgamation of a Klingon I've ever seen, and it's the most ugly and it's stupid out of all of them. The Gorn at least look like they're the original series, which is kind of nice. But they're very clear with their cop-out way to incorporate stuff which is exciting and visual, but trying to make sure it doesn't crinkle canon. But yeah, I'm still an Orville fan overall, because the Orville is coming into its own. And I'm still watching this because I'm a Star Trek fan, and because I'm looking at it simply as a reboot and not as fitting in continuity. If I looked at it as fitting in continuity, that would turn me off to this whole series, and I would just turn a blind eye and say, forget it. But because I'm looking at it in this other perspective, it's more watchable for me, if that makes any sense. I will say the other episode, though, of Discovery, episode 3, where Starfleet, where they're having Burnham go through the code, it's kind of funny because TheVerge.com discovered that Burnham's task of reconciling two suites of code was actually... I caught this on the screen before I ever saw this, but I saw D-word, and which is a Windows registry code, and or element to code. So it seems that, and they joke that Starfleet state-of-the-art systems are running Windows, which is ridiculous. But they did compile the code, and it's the infamous Stuxnet virus, which is, you know, obviously strange. So it's just weird that they grabbed this overly complicated looking code and they just used it for Star Trek Discovery. It's just weird. But yeah, like I said, I recognized the D word thing in there, and it kind of made me laugh. So yeah, I'm still I'm still hopeful for the series. I'm still gonna give it a shot. I still think that people should watch it if they're Star Trek fans. They are going to, for the fifth episode, having Harry Mudd join the series, Lorca getting captured, among other things. And, yeah. So, because of all of this stuff that's taken place, CBS decided, we're going to shake up the season order. We're going to add an extra episode to the end of the season. So, you know, mid-season premiere will now air on Sunday, November 12th. And then it will have the rest of the episodes in 2018. So I'm hoping that they at least get like an okay to do the season 2 if they're going to go ahead and do it, rather than waiting until 2019, because I feel like that's going to kill the series. Like, it should be coming out every year if they're going to have it. And I and this has happened with other series. Like, I've watched Continuum, and they had some weird year and a half thing where just nobody gave a rip by the end of it. Like, because it took so long to come back. I don't know. But they are pulling a card from, like, Game of Thrones, where they're not afraid to kill off characters and leave them dead. There's no miraculous revivals other than Burnham so far. So, I was quite happy to see some of that happen. And then, of course, there's on the Klingon ship, there's a mutiny, so, of sorts. Which this one looks more Klingon than the rest of them that we've seen on this derelict Dekuvma ship. I hate the Dekuvma thing. Hate it. Drives me nuts. And they do reveal Captain Georgiou's body's fate in this episode, which you'll have to pay attention to here. And then there's like the last will and testament to Georgiou for Burnham to open. So yeah, just you should definitely check this out. I'm looking forward to more of the show. I'm not particularly thrilled overall with the show, but it's getting better. If I could just get past the purple Klingons with the weird-looking armor and faces, and it's nice to see the Shen Zhao come back in this episode. I don't even think we have an episode title for episode 5 yet. I know I'm all over the place with this, but it's a little crazy. Yeah, they don't even have an episode title for 5 through 8 on the listing yet, which is a bit odd. Oh, they have Choose Your Pain for episode 5, and then Lethe, L-E-T-H-E for 6, but there's no other titles for episodes. Yeah. It'll be interesting. So, let me know what you guys think about Star Trek Discovery. As for the Orville, we're getting into some pretty prime territory here, too. The next episode is going to be some pretty... using, like, holographic technology. They're going to have... Captain Ed Mercer and his helmsman, I can't remember the name of right now. And I'm the same way with Star Trek Discovery. I only know Lorca, I know Georgiou, I know Burnham and Saru. The rest of them, I can't tell you their names to save my life. The Orville, I know Mercer, and that's about it. I'm sure I'd remember if I was staring at the sheet of their names, but... So, the next episode, they're supposed to go undercover, and I'm liking where the direction of the show's going. There's a lot of gray area. The previous episode just had Charlize Theron in the episode, and she's coming back from the future, like the 29th century, which is kind of funny because in Star Trek Online, the 29th century there's these characters in the 29th century that are coming back to the 24th or 25th century and 23rd century to screw up the timeline. So this one is she's there's a nice twist to her character, but it's funny seeing her on the show, and then you get to see the holodeck being used, and it's just overall it's a pretty interesting thing, and you get to see their android character kind of work like Data in a sense. You get to see more of the engineer. You get to it's actually getting into its own, and I think the next episode's going to be pretty solid as well. So check out the Orville as well, and so let me know what you guys think. I'd really like to hear it so that we have some conversation on the next episode. And also, I discovered there's an EMH, but it's for the ECH, Emergency Command Hologram. I saw that somebody had it as a GIF on Twitter, and I must have missed that episode. And I'm going to have to go back and watch that now, but I saw a clip from it, and it's awesome. So, anyways, until next time, Warp Factor 8, engage into the final frontier.
Synchronous orbit above their landing coordinates.
Voyager, Mayday.
What's wrong?
We've been hit. I'm taking us down into the solar.
Harry.
I don't know what happened to them.
I am picking up a vessel, Captain. It's Borg.
Red alert. On screen. Battle stations.
Captain. You must relieve me of duty. At once.
An assimilation virus has penetrated our defenses.
We're becoming drones!
Hard to starboard. Reinforce the shields.
Incoming fire!
Doctor!
Computer, activate the ECH.
Acknowledged.
Transferring all systems to your command. You have the bridge.
Indeed. Shields to maximum. Photon torpedoes, full volley. Fire. Computer, report.
Enemy shields are intact.
We are the Borg.
I know very well who you are. Stand down your weapons.
State your designation.
Emergency Command Hologram. At your service.
Designation unknown.
Not for long.
Doctor.
Warning. Primary shields are failing.
This is the last time I'm going to ask you. Stand down your weapons. Turn back while you still can.
You will be assimilated.
Over my dead program. Computer, activate the photonic cannon.
The photonic cannon is online.
Fire.